And they don't necessarily write exactly the same things. But if all of us in here saw an accident and were asked to write what you saw, I doubt very seriously we would all write the same thing. So, we are going to be talking about the resurrection this morning. In Luke 24, beginning with verse 1, it says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." In all four Gospels, it says, on the first day of the week, the ladies went to the tomb. They went to the tomb with spices to prepare the body. Now, if you have read earlier, you find that Joseph and Nicodemus take the body to the tomb, and they wrap him up and place him in the tomb, and they've got some spices. Jesus was on the cross 6 hours, from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay? And since the Passover, not the Passover, since the Sabbath was going to begin at daybreak, they had to get him in the tomb quickly. They didn't have much time. Okay, so it's my idea that they didn't have enough time to thoroughly do what they were supposed to do, and that is why the ladies went on the first day of the week after the Sabbath in order to continue the preparation of the body. Now, the Sabbath. Actually, this particular week, there was 2 Sabbaths. Okay? There was a holy Sabbath, or a high Sabbath, and there was a regular Sabbath. Okay. The high Sabbath didn't have to be on Saturday. Didn't have to be on Saturday. It was a high Sabbath because this was the Passover feast. So this high Sabbath, they believe, began on Thursday. So you're going to have the high Sabbath on Thursday, then you're going to turn around and have your normal, regular Sabbath on Saturday. If you're trying, the Lord said the Scriptures say he was going to be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. If you try to count from the normal Sabbath, you can't get that. No way. But if you count from the high Sabbath, you do. So, anyway, obviously the ladies, after the high Sabbath, were able to go and buy some more spices so they could go to the grave on Sunday morning. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. In some of the other Gospels, it said they were worried about this. How are we going to get this stone rolled away? Stones are heavy. If you've ever worked out in the yard and you picked up a big stone, those things are heavy. Well, this stone that they were going to have to roll away, they weren't really sure how that was going to happen. They didn't have to worry about that. When they got there, the stone had already been rolled away. It had been rolled away by an angel. In one of the other Gospels, it tells us that there was an earthquake. Okay, only one Gospel tells us about that. There was an earthquake, and an angel rolled the stone away. So they don't have to worry about that. When they get there, the stone has been rolled away. They didn't find the body. There's no body there. While they were perplexed about this, behold, 2 men stood by them in dazzling apparel, Luke is the only one that says there were two men. The other three Gospels just mention one. But again, you've got different men telling the story. And it just depends on what's, I guess, important to you when you write this down. I think there were two angels, but actually, only one of them speaks. Two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. We talked one night, I think it was a Sunday night, could have been a Wednesday night, about what angels look like. Well, on this occasion, they are dazzling white. Dazzling white. Something that you couldn't miss. They become afraid when they see these men or this man. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, there is, in one of the Gospels, it's talking about the soldiers that were guarding the tomb. They saw this too, and it was so bright, they hid their faces. They just didn't want to look at it. They were afraid, just like the women were afraid here. They were afraid. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered to the hand of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered the words. If you read the Gospel of John over and over and over again, he tells his disciples, his apostles, what's going to happen. He says to them that he's going to be arrested. He says to them he's going to be crucified. He says to them he's going to rise on the third day. They didn't get it. They didn't get it until after he rose and they were able to see him. You know, we like to speak of doubting Thomas. I got news for you. They were all doubting. When the women go and report what they've seen, they don't believe it. They don't believe it. No matter how many times he told them, they didn't believe it. We were talking, I think it was Sunday night, and Rich asked a question. He said, when was the first sacrifice? Okay, when I think of a sacrifice in the Old Testament, I think of somebody building an altar, putting an animal on it, killing the altar, the animal, sacrificing. That's what came to my mind. Rich said, no. It was in the Garden of Eden. God killed animals to make clothes for Adam and Eve. I never had thought about that. But when you had a sacrifice in the Old Testament, the animal was killed, and what did you have? Blood. Blood. When Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, any of those made a sacrifice, there was blood. When Moses went up on the mountain to receive the law, a lot of times we think of the law as the Ten Commandments. Well, those are the Ten Moral Commandments, but there are a whole bunch of other commandments he gave him. Some of those commandments had to do with building a temple, which was just a big tent. Told them how to build the temple, told them what to put in the temple. That's where they sacrificed animals. They sacrificed animals later on. From the tabernacle, Solomon built a temple, okay, to take the place of the tent. Where did they do the sacrifices? In the temple. What did that require? Killing animals. Blood. You had to have blood. Now, I've heard it said that the blood of those lambs and goats and whatever just roll the sins forward. I'm not really sure how that works, but you had blood. Have you ever thought about that? The sacrifices that were made at the temple, we're talking about thousands and thousands of sacrifices. Thousands and thousands of animals that were killed. Blood. Had to be really, really bloody at that temple. Some of y'all are too young to remember this, but used to have a slaughterhouse down in Nashville. If you came across Memorial Bridge and got to the 2nd Street and the wind was blowing right, you could smell it. It was a slaughterhouse. And what you were smelling was blood. There had to be a blood sacrifice. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his blood so that we might have forgiveness of our sins and that we might look forward to a time in eternity with him. So they say, why do you seek the living? They're saying, he's alive. He's not dead any longer. That's why you don't find him in there. He's alive. He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered the words. That triggered it. Yeah, I remember him telling us that. I remember him telling us that. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. In one of the Gospels, at least, there's a Mary Magdalene and the angel. And the angel tells them, or tells her and the ladies, that they are to go and tell his disciples that he is risen. I think it's interesting that the first people that took the message were women. I don't know how many women were at the tomb. I think in the Gospels, 3 or 4 are mentioned, but then it said other women. So there were several women that were at the tomb that received this message from the angel and went back and told the disciples, the apostles, what had happened. It says, now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they didn't believe it. They did not believe it. They've seen the angels. They've talked to the angels. Actually, in one of the Gospels, Mary Magdalene talks to Jesus. She thinks he's the gardener at first. So they go back and report that, and what happens? They don't believe. They don't believe. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. In one of the Gospels, the angel specifically says, go tell Peter and the apostles. Go tell Peter. Make sure Peter gets this message. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloth by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. In one of the other Gospels, it's Peter and John that go to the tomb. John outruns him. Must have been younger, I don't know. Peter gets there, but Peter just blows right through, goes on into the tomb. Okay. What do they find? They find the death shroud, clothes, whatever you want to call it, there. And then they found the napkin that was laid on over his face. They found it separately from the body, and it was folded. It was folded. Okay. And And he went home marveling at what had happened. Okay, so Jesus has risen from the dead, and he actually converses with several people after that. On 13 it says, that very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. These are disciples, followers of Jesus while he was on earth, and they're talking about everything that's happened, the trial, the crucifixion, you know, all these things. They're talking about that. They don't understand it yet, but they're talking about it. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So they're walking on the road to go to this town, and Jesus shows up, and he's walking with them. But they don't recognize him. They don't know who he is yet. They don't know who he is yet. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. So, they ask him, you're the only person in Jerusalem that don't know what's been going on? So obviously, the word had gotten out about the crucifixion, and they had heard about it, and they were sad about it. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They had hoped that Jesus would have a physical kingdom, that he would throw out the Romans, that he would establish the throne that David had, and that their nation would be like it was in David and Solomon's time. That's what they want. Okay? Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, he talked about the women there. Where's it going? Saying that they had even seen visions of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They had the prophets. They had the Hebrew text we call the Old Testament. Jesus is saying there are prophecies in the Old Testament told that this was going to happen. You should know about this. You should know that this was going to happen. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them and all the scriptures the things concerning him. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch was similar to that. The eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53. And Philip runs up to him and says, you understand what you're reading? He said, I can't unless somebody explains it to me. Philip gets up in the chariot, and from that point, he taught Christ. Okay? Christ is all through the Old Testament. We just have to look. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. He goes in, he has a meal with them, he prays over the meal, and their eyes are opened. All of a sudden, they know who they're having dinner with. They're having dinner with the Christ. And all of a sudden, what happens? He just vanishes. He's just gone. Same thing happens when he goes to the apostles in the closed room, the door's locked. He just shows up. And then when he gets through with that, he just vanishes. He just vanishes. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus has risen. He has been seen by the two men on the road to Emmaus. He has been seen by Mary Magdalene and the ladies that went to the grave. And later he will be seen by the apostles. And Paul says at one time 500 people saw him. The crucifixion was very, very important for us because God, Jesus, gave his blood for us. Very important. But the resurrection is just as important, if not more so, because that gives us hope. Because God raised Jesus, we know that he can raise us. Okay. We know that we will someday be in the presence of God, and that we'll be there through eternity. I'm doing a little study in John also. David gave me that tie that says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Have you ever realized how many similar things he says in John? Not exactly that way, but the same idea. You have got to come through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to do it. So I'm going through the book of John now. And I'm writing down every verse I find like that. And then I'm going to put in words so I'll have all of it. Okay. It's good to know history. It's good to know what happened. But the important thing is, where do you stand with the Lord? That's a question I ask at funerals. Okay. I ask that at funerals. I did a funeral just the other night. Young man I knew. Lost both of his legs, had real bad diabetes, died. And I said, "Jerry, my brother, before he died, he told me, and I've told y'all, he said, 'I'm at peace, I'm not worried, I know where I'm going.'" I said, I hope Drew felt the same way and knew where he was going. Okay. Everybody here probably, or most everybody here, is a member of the Lord's body. Okay. If there's not, and you need to be, in a few minutes we're going to sing a song. Please come forward, confess Christ, and be baptized into Christ. If you've got problems that you want to bring to the congregation, this is a good time to do that. Y'all have often heard me say, if you don't tell me what's going on in your life, I don't know how to pray for it. You have to tell me what's going on in your life. And something's going on in everybody's life, I guarantee you. I was sitting at home last night, and we were watching TV, and it was nice and peaceful and everything, and I get a call from a lady in the other building. You want to come over here and see what's happening? I got water coming up out of my sink and going down on my floor. Things happen. Things happen. My granddaughter has my car so she can get back and forth to work. That's why I'm nervous with us this morning, because we only have one car. Things happen. So if you've got something you need to share with us that you want prayer for, then we ask that you come as we together stand and sing.